My name is Rhonda Brill, and I'm a fifth grade teacher at Columbus Signature Academy.
Okay.
And my name is Terry Schoenhoff, and I'm a second grade teacher at St. Charles School here in Bloomington.
Okay. Were you both teaching at the time that 9/11 happened?
I was teaching preschool at the time.
So was I. That's weird. So that's a different perspective.
I guess I'm wondering with that, and kind of go back in time a little bit here, you know, it seems to me like, especially for very young children, when something like this happens, when they're in school, teachers are kind of who they turn to. And I'm wondering what that was like, because maybe there were things happening that you didn't necessarily have the answers to, or you didn't know what was going on. And just feel free to talk.
The day that 9/11, when that happened, I was standing in front of my four-year-old class, and I was in a K through 12, actually, school, but they had preschool there too. And the principal just knocked at the door and had me come to the door, and she let me know what was happening because one of the students in my class, her dad, actually worked at the Twin Towers, and he was in New York at the time. So she wanted to make sure that I knew what happened, but I needed to keep it quiet because they already knew that he was okay. But it was just, if the daughter found out, it might scare her, because that was what she had kind of looked at as her father's place of employment. So I also got to see the perspective of the older kids, because by lunchtime, they had been hearing bits and pieces, but the teachers were asked at that time not to say anything as a whole, because there were people who had parents that were traveling there and just didn't want anybody to cause a ruckus.
I think that particular day, I was also teaching 4 and 5 year olds, and I don't think we had as much news as what you had. I was teaching at the end of the building. Our school is a preschool through eighth grade school, and the area where I was teaching at is somewhat removed from the rest of the school. So we were hearing bits and pieces from our end that there had been a plane that had crashed into some buildings in New York, but we didn't really know the extent of it or any details about it. And so it wasn't really until after school and several days later that we were answering children's questions. And much like when I was a child and President Kennedy was killed, where there was so much media attention given to that, I think talking to my students, it was a similar kind of understanding where they knew that there was something terrible that had happened, but they didn't really understand everything about it. So, but there was a sense of fear, I think, for them. So it was kind of just had to calm them and say, that isn't going to happen to your school or here in Bloomington for that age group.
And so you've both also had a chance to see sort of progression, because when that happened, you had young children who were sort of growing up, and now you've reached a point really almost right at the edge of this point where almost nobody who's would be in elementary school would even have really remembered that happened. And I guess I'm wondering if you can talk about that progression a little bit, you know, what it's been like to see sort of this consecutive groups of students kind of pass through your classrooms.
I think the biggest thing that I have noticed through this 10-year span is at first students seem to be much more fearful of, you know, their future. I mean, if that could happen in America, it could happen. And those were the questions as I have went through different grade levels of teaching. You know, could that happen to us? And, you know, the honesty that sometimes you need to display, you also have to weigh, you know, the fear factor of students. But now, 10 years later, a lot of students talk about the soldiers and being in the war. But honestly, most of them don't really connect what they've seen on TV from 9/11 a lot of the times to our soldiers being in war right now. So that's, to me, a little sad. But on the other hand, you know, they can see that there's still people fighting for our country and fighting for our protection, no matter what their beliefs are, their parents' beliefs are. Mm-hmm. So
I would say that's similar kind of scenario at St. Charles, except for the fact that where they were scared in the beginning, and since there isn't as much of a connection, it's more of a in memory of the people that that died there and the people that died helping other people that particular day. We still have many children whose fathers and mothers serve over in are engaged in the war. So I think those families in particular are more in tune with it today. But in general, I think there is sort of a disconnect. But I know that we're always talking about how in the sense of in memory of 9/11, that we really are a universal world, and that was a very small number of people that were engaged in hurting people here in the United States, and we really talk about tolerance and forgiveness for those people who made that kind of choice, and to move forward. And so we're sad, and we honor those people, but I don't think there's a sense of fear anymore. It's in memory.
Okay. And kind of moving into the classroom today, I'm wondering, you know, the moment of 9/11 was a very unifying, I think, moment. And since that maybe has not been so much the case, sort of people's reactions afterwards was not so much the case. And so when you're talking about an issue like this, it seems like a very sensitive issue for parents in particular. And I'm wondering, you know, how do you navigate those waters when you have to deal with maybe different groups of people who have different perspectives on that particular event and sort of the aftermath of that event?
Mm-hmm. Being a project-based school, one thing that we really strive on in our building is the, you know, the issue of service, giving service to other people. So we honor and remember the people who died in 9/11, plus the people who are still serving our country, by doing, instead of like most schools do a walk-a-thon, we do a serve-a-thon, and we kick it off the last day before 9/11 in our building. And we talk about how people serve to protect us, and in our school and in our community, we need to serve our community. So, you know, we bring it back up every year, and we talk about it. And, of course, most of our projects focus around serving someone in our community. But specifically, this is giving time back to someone or to our community to build, instill in students the fact of service, whether it's service for the country or just service for our community. So we do all kinds of projects. Students decide what projects they're going to do, where they put that time that normally people would give for a walk-a-thon, but it's the time they get money for doing the service time and doing things for others in the community. And then that's how we raise our money for our school. So I feel like that really is indirect response to 9/11 and just being service-minded as a student body.
Hmm. The response to 9/11 in our school is covered in different ways depending on how the age of the child is. And we, like I said earlier, the response mostly is in thoughtful prayer and in memory, and we do it as a school as a whole in our services, and then in different activities depending on each teacher's curriculum and how they want to address it. I don't really feel that there's any any division of or animosity at all. Some families, I think, feel a much stronger American pride and ownership with that. I think especially if they have parents or family members that are involved in the military. And then we have, you know, Bloomington's a very diverse community, and so is St. Charles. So we have different people of different faiths and different cultures, and so we are very conscious of that and try to keep that in mind when we are teaching about it, that, again, like I said earlier, of tolerance and forgiveness and how we just really need to try and make most of our decisions with our words and with each other.
One aspect of particularly when you're talking about elementary school age children, you know, some of the imagery and some of the events that happened were fairly graphic and fairly disturbing in a lot of ways. And I'm wondering, you know, how if when you get questions about that or if how you approach that particular subject of sort of teaching children about this event without having to resort to looking at some of that graphic material. Or do you? I mean, I don't know.
I know, again, it depends on the age of the children. I have a book that actually was illustrated by children that live in New York at the time, and all the images in it are hand-drawn by the children. So it's not nearly as obviously as graphic as photographs would be. And I know, like, our kindergarten, first, second, third grade teachers probably wouldn't give anything more than that beyond as far as picture sense. As they get older, there's probably some footage that maybe the eighth grade and seventh grade kids could handle. But obviously it has to be pre-screened by teachers. And again, you don't want to scare children, but at the same time, it is a history event. And I think you can give that event educational points of view without giving them the graphic points. I don't know that they need to see and know that. So much of them see enough graphic things as it is without bringing it so close to the actual truth. They don't need to see people jumping out of buildings, per se.
And honestly, I mean, most of the fifth graders probably have seen all of those news, you know, broadcasts and videos. Because every year at 9/11, they play them on TV over and over again. And so I know there's probably some parents that monitor the TV more closely on that day, like I do, because I also have young children at home. And, you know, we don't want to scare them either, just like kids in our school. But the historical piece to that, you know, is important. And so the fifth graders in our building and the second graders this year, they're going to do a project that's related to boosting the morale of, you know, the soldiers at Atterbury, because we live, I mean, Atterbury's just 15 minutes away from our school. So they're going to do that. And so this might come into play whenever they start asking about and wanting to boost their morale. So the goal behind this is fifth grade standards. We still cover all the standards. So, you know, learning about the government and how it was set up and also how our country was founded. And so it's really going to be a piece about or a project that relates and connects, you know, rebellion to patriotism. And, you know, so there would be a huge connect between, you know, what we would call rebellion, you know, against America, you know, with that happening, where on another aspect you could look at people in history like George Washington, you know, that was a rebel from one place, but he helped found our country and is a patriot here. So, you know, making those connections, but also seeing that there not always is a rebel, someone that is going to be also a patriot. So I think those are some connects that the kids will probably come up with while they're doing the project about, you know, boosting the morale of the soldiers that, and they see soldiers in Columbus. They come to our movie theater. You know, they're at Walmart. You know, so it, you know, and so the point is even as being a good citizen, when you see them, thank them for their service. You know, so maybe it's a little bit more in their face in Columbus because they see them and they know that they're away from their families and they're serving, even getting ready to leave from Atterbury.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to, for a second, come back to this issue of this, the disconnect you were talking about earlier. And I'm wondering about that, you know, to what degree is it, do you ever find difficulty in the sense that this may be a very personal event? I think it's a very personal event for everybody that was, saw the images and kind of was lived through that. And I'm wondering, is there to what extent do you feel a need to sort of convey that? And to what extent do you feel a need to kind of back off on that, that kind of expressing that personal connection with that, that this particular event?
I'm not sure that you have to back off from expressing your personal, that day when it happened. I mean, that was also my daughter's birthday, so it was. We had a big birthday party planned that day, and then, you know, all these people, you know, are you still having it? Well, do you want to tell an 11-year-old that her birthday party is getting canceled? You know, so, I mean, I have some very specific memories of that day because of that. But then on the other hand, you know, when you bring it up or it gets brought up in the classroom, students have their own stories. I mean, even though they weren't, you know, there, they don't remember when it happened for real, you know, they would hear stories from their parents and say, oh, yeah, my uncle, you know, was, you know, fighting, you know, over there. My uncle's a firefighter, too, and he's talked about if he was there, you know. So I think normally the conversation is not really ever stifled when it happens, but it's really led more by the students, and you let them express their feelings about it, and then that's also when you can see the disconnect, because it isn't something personal to them, but some of them do have family or friends that they can make that connection, but it's more just a piece of history to them.
Yeah, I don't think that they're the idea of it being personal or not personal is really the issue for the kids at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just, it is a piece of history of something that happened, and they are connected in it in the sense that some of them do have family that are involved in the resulting conflict, perhaps, you know, and the idea that, you know, different protective things happen, like at airports and places where they go. But to them, that's always been that way, so it's... Mm-hmm. It's just a way of life that they don't know that is different because it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. For us, it's different when we go to an airport than if we did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the personal sense is really an issue at school.
Mm-mm. Okay. And all right, we talked a little about some of the materials, but I guess I'm wondering more specifically – When you've gone and looked at books and you've looked at materials that relate to this event that are sort of targeted at younger audiences, I'm wondering. We'll start in kind of broad terms. Is there any kind of overall reaction? Is it kind of what you've seen that you've liked, what you have seen that you haven't liked, in terms of what that kind of material that's out there?
I know it's covered in the textbooks. I talked to our 8th grade history teacher who also teaches 7th grade geography. At least he did as of last year, and has just left St. Charles. And he was telling me that it's not actually covered in his 8th grade history because he deals with early American history up through the Civil War, but he does cover it more in depth in 7th grade geography because they're talking about different cultures, and it comes more into play then. And he said where you're comparing and looking at the differences but also the samenesses of their culture the Muslim culture versus the American culture, which is primarily Christian-based. And he said, it always leads into interesting discussions as to the things that are the same and yet the same things that are different, and how you can solve problems as you always do when you're looking at different cultures. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, I think when students do see those or have those, you know, they think back to what they've seen on the TV, you know, I do think that they are, you know, they respond as in shock that that could happen, because, you know, when the students that were in school when it happened, you know, it was part of them. But these students, you know, today, they look at it as history, and they're really shocked that that could have happened in America. And I've had students say, I can't believe that that could happen, you know, in America. And so even just 10 years, you know, out of that, you know, it just seems like yesterday, you know, to me. But to my students in fifth grade, it's history. And when they see those, they are just really astonished that it could happen here. And they at times feel very remorseful, you know, and make mention of, you know, God and you know, well, those people are in heaven, or, you know, they bring their own beliefs into the classroom sometimes when they talk about things of that nature, whether it's, you know, the sinking of the Titanic or this, you know, horrible event of 9/11. So I think it stirs up emotions that even though it's history, it's still something they're very shocked about.
It's recent history,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, which in most of our history books, it's not very much recent history. Mm-hmm. Most of us, if we've studied history at the elementary school level, it's hard to get past World War II. So to get most, I think 9/11 is still covered as sort of a memory of current events.
Mm-hmm.
More than a history.
Sure. No, absolutely. And this is probably my last question here, but talking in, you know, one of the things that you've said, both of you have said repeatedly, is that the students are viewing this more and more as a historical event. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how that affects, as a teacher, how that affects the direction of your, does that inform how you teach the subject or how you talk about the subject? In any way or any particular way?
Well, I think it's very important when you teach any subject, you know, whether it's history, but how does it affect the way we live today? Because then that really brings it home to students. So when they do talk about it like it's from the past, you know, you can remind them, well, because of that, what, you know, ask them questions. Because of that, how is the world different today? And how did it change your world? Because a lot of times they won't think it does until you have some in-depth, you know, critical thinking about it. And then they bring up, oh, well, you know, maybe that's why they check our bags, or, you know, at the airport. Maybe that's why, you know, so-and-so's, you know, dad is not living at home because he's over in, you know, the Middle East, or, you know, then they start making the connections. But you do have to draw it out of them a little bit and connect it to their real life and see how it does affect all of us, even though it was, you know, a piece of history that was just 10 years ago.
I think, I'm dealing with second graders, so it has to be introduced by me, and we probably will address it mostly as in memory of, and probably make some draw some letters and things to send to service people that are still ongoing and involved in the situation. In preschool, we connected it to firefighters and policemen that serve us here in Bloomington, and would make things for that group of people. And so I think at each level, mm-hmm. the teachers try to bring it as concretely as they can in how it's connected mm-hmm. to the children. But and as you get older, you can have more in-depth discussions. I don't think there's a lot of in-depth discussions that are happening in at least the K through three area.
Sure. And this is my actual final question. Do you have any other kind of final thoughts or anything that you've been thinking about over the last few days or over the last few years even about 9/11 or about how it's taught or about any of these subjects we've been talking about?
I know I get a perspective from other teachers and children and even parents that we talk to is that I think we're all getting very realistic in that it's a very small world anymore. And we do want to get along. We do want to have tolerance of other peoples and other cultures and would really like to solve things in a more peaceful way. I think children especially would like to see that. Many of them have parents that have been involved in this conflict for a long time and would like to see their dads and moms stay home and not be in the Middle East. And at the same time, because I think we are so blessed in Bloomington to have such a diverse culture that you do get to know a lot of people from different places in the world, and you get to know them as people. So you don't want to fight with people that you know. You want to get along and enjoy each other's strengths and help each other with their weaknesses. And I think that's a good thing, that we're trying to teach each other tolerance and patience towards each other.
Yeah, I feel the same way in a sense. In Columbus, we have Cummins, so we have a very diverse community too. And so in our schools, we have a diverse, set of students. So I guess the one thing that I can remember that was closer to when it happened was I remember some younger students asked me once, well, what did we do to them? And I said, well, I don't really know what they think we did to them. And they said, well, if we would have just said we're sorry, would that have helped? And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand exactly why they did what they did, And I said, but the one thing is what we do from this point on. And they said, well, so what should we do? And the kid said, well, I guess we should.